Thank you. You may be seated. Open your Bibles, please, if you have them, to Exodus 39 and also 40. We'll finish up this study this evening. And tonight we'll see the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle there. The first chapter, chapter 39, has a lot of details as we first look at the priestly garments. Tonight we'll be looking at the priestly garments and then the completion of the work, and then the dedication of the tabernacle, and then the presence of God descended there. And those of you who look forward to alliterated outlines, you're disappointed tonight. I don't have one for you tonight. But as we finish out this book, it's just an amazing thing the way the Israelites work together and finish the construction of the tabernacle and how the book closes. Remember, the book Exodus is called that because this is when they exited the land of Egypt, and God brought them out because he had something better for them, as we'll see at the end of the book. So we start by looking, first of all, at the priestly garments in chapter 39, verses 1 through 5 says, "And of the blue and purple and scarlet, they made cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron, as the Lord commanded Moses. He made the ephod of gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, and they did beat the gold into thin plates, cut it into wires to work it in the blue and in the purple and the scarlet and the fine linen and the cunning in work. They made shoulder pieces for it to couple it together by the two edges was it coupled together. And the curious girdle of his ephod that was upon it was of the same, according to the work thereof, of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twined linen, as the Lord commanded Moses." And so we see these holy garments. And notice that phrase in the verse 1 that says, cloths of service to do service. And so the clothes were there not just for show. God had a plan for their worship. And when the priests would go in, they had to be clothed a certain way. If they were going to do service for the Lord, God had some expectations for them, even as their dress was a concern. Now, for us, when we read about the Bible, what it says about New Testament priests as we are, God requires that we be clothed in robes of righteousness, because God will not accept the service and the worship of those who are unsaved. And so here they put on these cloths of service to do service, and they worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and God accepted their worship. And then in verse 6, we see in these priestly garments, there were some names there. "And they wrought onyx stones enclosed in alches of gold, graven, and signets are graven with the names of the children of Israel." The alches there were the like the settings, they would make the wires of gold or something, and the stones that they would set them in the garment there. And here it had the names of the children of Israel. God was concerned with each one of them, and he knew them by name. Even as the Bible says, Jesus is our shepherd. He knows the sheep. He calls us by name. God knows every one of us very well, and God is concerned with the individual person, and their names were there. Then in verse 7, it is for a memorial. It says, "And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses." You've seen that phrase several times already, "as the Lord commanded Moses." We'll see it in more detail when we get into chapter 40 there. But notice these stones for a memorial are on the shoulders there. And that's how the Lord carries us, isn't it? You're familiar with the shepherd. Whenever he goes and he has the sheep, and he will take the sheep and he'll put it around his neck and carry it on his shoulders. And the Lord is our shepherd, and he does that. Follow with me as I read. It's a little bit lengthy passage, but I want to read it so you can see the details there. We're not going to go into explanation of all the details because we've already looked at most of these things in previous chapters. But as they're building the tabernacle and the clothes for the priest, beginning at verse 8, He made the breastplate of cunning work, like the work of the ephod of gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. And it was four square. They made the breastplate double. A span was the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof, being doubled. A span would be the hand width from the thumb to the tip of the middle finger. And they set in it four rows of stones. And the first row was sardius and topaz and carbuncle. And this was the first row. And the second row, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure and an agate and amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl and onyx and jasper. And they were enclosed in ouches of gold in their enclosings. And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with his name, according to the 12 tribes. And they made upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And they made two ouches of gold and two gold rings, and they put the two rings in the two ends of the breastplate, and they put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings in the ends of the breastplate. And the two ends of the two wreathen chains they fastened in the two ouches, and they put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And they made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate upon the border of it, which was in the side of the ephod inward. And they made two other golden rings and put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart of it, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they did bind the breastplate by its rings into the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it might be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate might not be loosed from the ephod, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 22, and he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. And now notice verse 23, and there was a hole in the midst of the robe, as the hole of a habergeon. With a band round about the hole that it should not rend. And you read that and probably your mind goes to the robe that Christ had, and they did not tear his garments here, and he is our high priest. Verse 24, and they made upon the hems of the robe pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet and twined linen. And they made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates upon the hem of the robe, round about between the pomegranates, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, round about the hem of the robe to minister in, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they made coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and for his sons, and a mitre and a fine linen, goodly bonnets of fine linen, and linen breeches of the twined linen, and a girdle of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet and needlework, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote upon it a writing like to the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And so when we read about, you know, all of those details that are there, and God was concerned with the very details, even the hooks and everything. And if God was concerned with all of the details of the priest's clothing, don't you think he cares about all the details of our lives as well? Well, on this crown that we just read about in verse 30, it had a sign, an engraving, a carving there that said holiness to the Lord. The word signet there has to do with a seal that they would give. And the Bible tells us that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And when God saves us, he does that. We are holy ones. We are saints unto the Lord. Just as this sign says, holiness to the Lord there, and we become the Lord's. Well, we go from the priestly garments now to completing the work, beginning in verse 32. They've been working on this for a long time. It says, and thus was all the work of the tabernacle, of the tent, of the congregation finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. The work was finished there. And all the little things that they had done, they had taken care of the details, those little ouches, those little pins, those rings, and everything that connected everything. They did all of those things there. And in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, it says, "He that is faithful and that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." And God had given them a command to take care of building the brazen altar that represented Calvary, and that was very important. And God also gave them a command to build rings, to put things, hold things together. And those were important. You know, and it doesn't matter in the Lord's work if we're doing what we might consider to be something big and major, or whether it's something small. God is concerned about all the details of our lives there, and he wants us to be faithful in little things. Remember David, before he was king, he was a shepherd boy, and he was faithful with what God had given to him with the flock there, and he honored God with that. Well, they finished the work, and now they bring it to Moses. In verse 33, it says, "And they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent, and all the furniture, his tacks, his boards, his bars, his pillars, his sockets, and the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering, and the ark," verse 35, "the ark of the testimony and the staves, the table," verse 36, "and all the vessels," verse 37, "the candlestick, and all its vessels," verse 38, "the golden altar, the anointing oil," verse 39, "the brazen altar, and its grate of brass, its staves, and all its vessels, the laver in his foot," verse 40, "the hangings of the court, its pillars and sockets, and the hangings for the court gate," verse 41, "the cloths of service, to do service in the holy place, and the holy garment for Aaron the priest, and his son's garments to minister and the priest's office." Now verse 42, "according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work." God had chosen Moses and spoke to Moses on the mount. And God had a big job for Moses to do. But he wasn't going to do it by Moses single-handedly. Moses needed some help. And so he went to the children of Israel and he said, "This is what God has commanded for us to do. You're to do this." And so he started giving all the assignments, and he had his helpers there that helped with the delegation, and they did all the work, and they have now finished it. And they bring it to Moses, and notice what Moses does in verse 43. "And Moses did look upon all the work." That word, "he did look upon," has to do with examining it, inspecting it. There was a commandment to go and do something for God. And then later, there was going to be an inspection of what they were commanded to do. And isn't that true of us as well? God has given us commandments of things that we should do for God, whether it's the brazen altar, building that, or whether it's just taking care of a ring that joins two curtains together. God has given all of us different things to do. And we need to be faithful, even in the little things, because there's coming a time, just as the Israelites stood before Moses for him to look over, there's coming a time where we stand before God as well. And we want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What did Moses say? Well, it's in verse 43. "Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded." I bet they were glad too. "Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them." Moses commended them because they did it like God commanded. And God has told us how he wants us to worship him. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. God has told us that we need to be sanctified and holy. God tells us how to walk in his spirit and how to be pleasing to him. And whenever we do as God has told us to do, one of these days we'll stand, not before Moses, as they did, but we'll stand before the Lord himself. And hopefully hear him say, "Blessed art thou," as Moses blessed them, "Well done, good and faithful servant," there. Think about Caleb. There's a phrase in the Old Testament where it talks about Caleb and how he wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, how he wholly followed the Lord. And that's what they did. As we saw that phrase, they did it as God commanded Moses. They followed the instructions, and when they got to the end, it was completed, it was done as God has commanded, and they were commended for it. Now they're going to dedicate the tabernacle. We come into chapter 40 now, and they're going to put it all together. They finished it. Let's read the first 8 verses. Follow along as I read those. Chapter 40. "And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Thou shalt put thereon the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. And thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof. Thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, the brazen altar, and thou shalt put water therein. And thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hangings at the court gate." And so Moses had told them how to build everything, and now they're going to place it exactly where God had told them to place it. Like you're doing whenever you're arranging your furniture at home, you know, and you get everything together, you know, and you get it in place, and then your wife looks at it and says it needs to go a half an inch that way, and it needs to go a quarter inch back this way. You want to get it just right. And well, that's what they did. They got it exactly the way God had told them to do it. And they put it all together. They had the brazen altar. And after they would go to the brazen altar, the next piece of furniture was the laver. And it had water there. And before they could go into the holy place to minister, they had to be clean. So they had to go to the brazen altar, which represents Calvary and salvation. Then they had to go to the laver, which is sort of like 1 John 1:9. We as Christians confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. And then we can go into the presence of God after we have been saved, our whole body, and then our feet, so to speak, as we learn in John 13 when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Now, the second thing on the dedication of the tabernacle, didn't know what to call it, so I just put in these words that are important there: to anoint, to sanctify, to hallow, and holy. Those words occur 15 times in these verses, 9 through 15, and the word wash occurs once. So you have 16 times where he's talking about being clean, being sanctified, being holy. Follow as I read those verses, and I'll kind of emphasize those words a little as I read them, and maybe I counted correctly. If I counted incorrectly, you can mark them if it's more than 15. There, verse 9. "Thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that's therein, and thou shalt hallow it and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. Thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. Thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot, and sanctify it. Thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them, as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout the generations there." And so in all of these verses, we see the anointing. And twice we have seen, and you may have caught as I emphasize that, that he may minister, or that they may minister. And so as the priests were going to minister to the Lord, there was a requirement that they be holy. They had to be sanctified. They had to be anointed. They had to be hallowed. They had to be washed. In all of these different words, God is making it so clear that if we're going to worship God, if we're going to offer any service to Him, and it's to be accepted by Him and then commended to us, it has to be done by holy people whose hearts have been clean and whose hearts are right with God. Otherwise, we're not going to minister unto the Lord. Or we might do the acts of ministering, but it's not going to be received by the Lord unless it's done by a certain quality of people. God required the people to be holy. He required their garments to be clean. And God has specific instructions for the kind of service He accepts. Well, it was on New Year's Day. In verse 16 of chapter 40, it says, "Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up." Must have been a wonderful New Year's celebration on the first day of the first month here as they're coming to worship the Lord together. And they had arrived at Mount Sinai. Remember when they left Egypt and they had crossed the Red Sea. In about 3 months, they had gotten to Mount Sinai there. And so this is about a year later. It says in the first month of the second year. That is the second year that they had come out of Egypt. There. And so there were 3 months that it took to get to Mount Sinai, and then Moses was up in the mount talking to God for about 3 months, and so you can subtract all those out, and it took them about 6 months to make all these garments, to make the tent and the coverings, and to bring in all the things that God had told them to bring. About 6 months, and now on the first day of the first month of the second year, they're coming together, and they're putting it all together. Well, let's look at that phrase, "as the Lord commanded Moses." You see it first of all in verse 16. "Thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he." And there are 8 times from here to the end of the chapter. And so let's look at those. First of all, in verse 16, it says he did all, everything that God had commanded him, they did all of that. Then down in verse 19, the coverings. "And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle. He put the covering of the tent above it, as the Lord commanded Moses." So they have the covering on. And now, verse 21. "And he brought the ark into the tabernacle. And he set up the veil of the covering. And he covered the ark of the testimony, as the Lord commanded Moses." God wanted it done a certain way. Verse 23. "And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord," and that's upon the table of showbread, of course, "as the Lord commanded Moses." So he has the covering, he brings in the ark, he brings in the table for the bread, and now the lamps that picture the church, as we saw several weeks ago in verse 25. Starting with 24. "He put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table and on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses." So they're doing all of these things. And it keeps telling us over and over. Number 6, we see that in verse 26 and 7. "He put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he burnt sweet incense thereon, as the Lord commanded Moses." And remember, the incense was a picture of prayer. As we offer up prayers to God, it's a sweet-smelling fragrance to Him. Verse 28, "He set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of burnt offering at the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and he offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering, as the Lord commanded Moses." So he set up the altar. He did that according to what God told Moses. And then verse 31 and 32. "And Moses and Aaron, his sons, washed their hands and their feet thereat, at the laver. And when they went into the tent of the congregation, when they came near unto the altar, they washed, as the Lord commanded Moses. So God had given a command. If you're going to go in to do service to the Lord, you have to have garments that are made for ministry. You have to have hands and feet that are clean to go in to the presence of the Lord. And so here they are getting everything ready. And verse 33, we come now to the presence of God. It's going to descend upon the tabernacle. Verse 33, it says, "And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and he set up the hangings of the court gate. So Moses finished the work." And we know it wasn't just Moses. Moses had a lot of help. And they did it as God had given the command to Moses. And then verse 34 says, "Then." So that's what I put up here. Moses finished the work then. Then, after he finished the work. I have in my Bible, "finished" and "then." I have circled and line drawn to them because there's a connection. He finished the work, and then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle there. The glory of the Lord was there. They had done everything that God had told them to do. And remember a few weeks ago we were going through all the weight of the gold and the weight of the silver and the weight of the brass. Do you remember how much I told you at a wide range of how much it cost to build this thing? Remember, it was somewhere between $30 and $40 million. But here's a powerful statement. $30 to $40 million spent, but without the glory of the Lord, it was just another tent. Oh, an expensive tent, but nothing special about it because it was $30 million of material. But what was special about it was the glory of God was there. God filled the tabernacle. And so then the next verse says, "When?" So they finished it, and then God's glory came. And verse 35 says, "And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Verse 36, "And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys." And so here they are now. They're going onward. They're going forward. They had done everything God had told him to do, the way God said to do it. They had brought it before Moses for inspection. They had gotten the stamp of approval. They had received the blessings. And now they're able to go onward on their journey there. And that's what God wants us to do. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21 says, "Unto him be glory in the church." Not just glory in the tabernacle, but glory in the church by Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, because Christ is the glory of God embodied. And Christ is in the church. He is the head of the church. And as he is here, and we are doing things as we worship him to all that God has commanded us, even as God had commanded Moses. Now let's look at the conclusion of the book, verses 37 and verse 38, as we go to the conclusion here. It says, "But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up." And they were following God's leading. They were obedient. Now verse 38 tells us, "The cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night." And throughout all their journeys, it says here at the end of verse 38, throughout all their journeys. And aren't you glad that God is with us throughout all our journeys? And some of our journeys, we are doing little small detail things that may not seem to matter. And sometimes we're doing the bigger works for God, or at least bigger in our own minds anyway. But as we journey through our lives, God is there. He was here. The cloud was there. The fire was there. But in this dispensation in which we live, We have the Holy Spirit who is always within us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He cares for us. He provides for us. He leads us. He led them. There was the cloud. There was the fire. And they followed there. If the cloud didn't move, neither did they. When the cloud moved, they moved. They did everything that Moses had said, the way God had said for it to take place, and they followed the Lord. But as they did, then they finished the work. So they finished the work as the Lord had commanded Moses. And we must do the work as God commands us. We don't do it our way. Our way is not better than God's way. If our service to God and our worship to God is going to be pleasing and commendable by God, we must do it His way. And He hasn't made it secretive. He didn't make it secretive to the Israelites. He gave the word to Moses, and Moses gave it to the people, and they did the work according as the Lord commanded Moses. But there was a requirement for them, and there's a requirement for us. We must be anointed. We must be hallowed. We must be holy. We must be sanctified. We must be washed. We must be clean. Because if we're going to serve a holy and righteous God, He's not going to accept service to us if our hands are unclean or our heart is unclean. But there is a laver. Just as there was a laver for the priest after going to the altar, there's a laver for us where we can go. And the water of God's Word cleanses us. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us. And as we go in to do service to the Lord, we wear robes of righteousness that He gave to us, and we can serve Him. So we come to the end of the Exodus. Here they were. They had been brought from Egypt across the Red Sea, and they had wandered for 40 years, and they had followed Moses and his leadership. And they had had some good days and some bad days. They had had times where they wholly followed the Lord. And they had some days where they were complaining and griping and bickering and things. And God brought them along. And they set up the tabernacle. And when they came, the presence of God filled the tabernacle. And the glory of God was there. And we'll close with a verse from the New Testament. Revelation 21. Almost to the end of the book of the New Testament, has 22 chapters there. Think about this verse and connect it to the Exodus. I'll put it on the screen in just a minute. Connect it to the Israelites coming out of Egypt, wandering in the wilderness, setting up the tabernacle, seeing the glory of God fill the tabernacle, and how He led them all throughout their journeys, as verse 38 ends the book of Exodus. So, Revelation 21:3, if you haven't already looked up in your Bible, John says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. There's coming a day when Jesus is coming back, and we are going to dwell with the Lord, and we are His people and the sheep of His pasture, and the tabernacle of God is with men, and we are so blessed being New Testament saints that God Himself dwells within us. But there's coming a day when Jesus returns from glory, and we're going to be there, and we're going to be worshiping at the tabernacle that is set up on earth. A great voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, that's us, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God was with them. They saw it in the cloud. They saw it in the fire. But it's going to be different than that when we see Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His glory. What a glorious day that will be. Let's pray. Father, We thank you for our exodus, an exodus from sin and slavery to sin, even as the Israelites were to Egypt. And Lord, we confess that there have been times in our journey through life that we've had some wilderness wanderings as well. Lord, give us more of what we saw at the end of the Exodus book, of where they were doing everything as you instructed Moses. Help us in our lives that we might do more as you have instructed us in your word, so that whenever we stand before you, as they stood before Moses, and you look upon the things that we have done, may those things have been done with pure hearts and clean hands that would be a blessing to you, so that we can receive the opportunities to give the glory back to you, because anything that we're ever able to accomplish in our service to you is only because you enable us to do so. And help us that the glory of God might be present in our church, that the glory of God might be present in our individual lives as well. In Christ's name, amen.